B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Ayin Vov, and we're going to start five lines from the top of the Omud. And we're going to continue in the discussion regarding the Mon. Says the Gemara, Sho'alu Talmidov es Reb Shimon ben Yochai, the students of Reb Shimon ben Yochai asked him, Mipnei ma lo yorad lohem liYisrael Mon pam achas bashono? Why didn't the Mon come down once a year? Why did it come down every single day? Omer lehem, Reb Shimon said to them, Emshe lechol moshel, I'll give you a moshel, a parable. L'mo'adav adoyme, it's similar to l'melech bos of Adom, if you have a king, a mortal king of flesh and blood, sheyesh le ben echod, he has a single son, posak le mezoinoisov pam achas bashono. So the king would allocate to the son sustenance and money and food once a year. Because his son only had to come and fetch his food rations once a year, he would not visit his father more than once a year. So at some point, the king that was so eager to see his son, he said, I'm going to only allocate for my son sustenance on a day-to-day basis. That way, the son will have to come and visit his father every single day. Af Yisrael, so too regarding Klal Yisrael. Mi sheyesh lo arba v'chamisha banim, a family that had four or five children, hayo doyeg v'omer, he would worry and he would say, shemo lo yered mon l'mochor, maybe tomorrow the mon will not fall. V'nimtzu kulam meisim barav, and if the mon doesn't fall, then we'll all die of starvation. And the consequent of that thought, nimtzu kulon mechavnim eslibom laviyam shebashamayim, that Klal Yisrael would constantly direct their hearts towards Hashem, they would do what Hashem is asking, they would daven to Hashem and speak to Hashem and ask Hashem for sustenance on a daily basis. And that's what Hashem gained, so to speak, by giving Klal Yisrael the mon every day and not once a year. And it seems that a family with less than four or five children thought that they would get away with it, they could buy food from the peddlers that were around, as we've seen in a previous Gemara, but the larger families were clearly felt at risk of dying if the mon would not fall. Dava achir, another reason why Hashem would send the mon every day and not once a year, shehoyu oichlin oisai kashu cham, that, and this is probably referring to the tzaddikim, as we saw before, the tzaddikim, the mon came down as ready-made breads, and Hashem wanted them to be able to enjoy the warm food, so to speak, as if freshly baked and warm. However, if it would become once a year, it wouldn't have that advantage. Dava achir, another reason why the mon would fall every day and not once a year, mipnei masui haderech, Hashem wanted to save them from the burden of having to carry around with them a year's supply of mon, and therefore Hashem said, I'll give you every day its own supply of mon. And continues the Gemara, we're now going to discuss how much mon actually fell. We know how much everybody took. Every head was able to take an oimer, which is a measure of mon, per head. How much mon actually fell? Uklar hoyo Reb Tarfon Reb Yishmoel, Uzkenim, Reb Tarfon Reb Yishmoel, and the elders, the Woyoshim, Voiskim, Beparashas Amon, they were sitting engaged in the study, in the learning of the portion, the discussion about the mon. Vahoyo Reb Elozo Hamoidoi Yoshev Benem, Reb Elozo Hamoidoi was sitting between them. Na no Reb Elozo Hamoidoi Vomer. Reb Elozo Hamoidoi, he spoke up and he said, Mon sheyorad lem liYisrael, you know how much mon fell for Klal Yisrael in the Midbar? Hoyo gavoya shishim amo, it was 60 amos high. Omale Reb Tarfon said to Reb Elozo Hamoidoi, Moidoi, ad mosa ato megavev dvorim, umevi oleinu. He referred to him as Moidoi, because Reb Elozo came from the place of Moidoi. Until when are you going to just gather words that seem to be ungrounded and unfounded and bring them to us? Omer loy, Reb Elozo Hamoidoi said to him, Rebbe, my master, Mikra ani derash, I actually learned this from a pasuk, I didn't make it up. What does it say in the pasuk? And he actually learned this from the Mabul. We know that in the Mabul, the flood in the time of Noach, it says, Chamesh esrei amo milamalo, 15 amos upward, Govra mayim, the waters strengthened, Vayichusu hehorim, and covered the mountains. And this is very interesting, to say that water covered and rose 15 amos. Well, that depends where you put the water. It's all relative. V'chi, Chamesh esrei amo be'emek, 15 Bahorim. Can it possibly be that it was 15 amas high in the valley and 15 amas high on the mountains? That cannot be, because the water at the top of the mountains would fall into the valley. How can you give a number measuring a height of water above a whole area when the area itself is different heights? V'chimaya, shuri, kaima. Does water stand like a wall, that 50 namas up from the valley will be 50 namas of water, and on a higher area, on a mountain, it will be 50 namas above the mountain, like a step? That's one question. V'oid, teva, hecha, sagya. If the water was just 50 namas high at every given spot, then the teva that was probably built lower down on a lower level, how did it find itself at the top of a mountain? We know that at the end of the Mabul, the teva rested on the top of a mountain, on Har Ararat. How did it get up there if the water at every given spot was only 50 namas high? Elo, it must be as follows. Nivku kol mainos toim rabo. At first, all the springs, the underground springs, burst forth with water. Ad ashvu mayo bahaditura. Until the whole world, so to speak, all the lower areas were filled with water, flash with the top of the mountains. Now there was a level, the water level was completely level, covering everything. On top of the mountains, it was flash, and lower down, obviously, the lower it was, the more water there was on top of it. V'hodorin, and only after that, then the rain came down, chamesh esri amo milamaylo, and the rain added an extra 15 amas govra maim, the waters strengthened, and there was an extra 15 amas of water came out from the rain. Says the Gemara, v'chi eze umido meruba. Which is a greater measure? Mido toivo, is it when Hashem is giving reward or when Hashem is giving punishment? Of course, when Hashem gives reward, it's going to be more and certainly not less than the measure of when giving a punishment. And b'midas puronus, when it's talking about punishing the world as it was in the Mabul, what does the Pasuk say? That the rain that rose 15 amas, where did it come from? The arubois hashamayim, the windows of the heaven. How many windows is that? Arubois is two windows. Niftachu, they were opened. So we see that when two windows are opened, then the amount of water that comes out is 15 amas. The mida toiva hu oimir, when it comes to the mon, which was a measure of positivity and reward, what does it say there in the Pasuk? The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Vayitzav shchokim, and he commanded the skies, Mimol, from above, Vidalse shmaim posoch. Here it doesn't speak about the windows, it speaks about the doors of the heaven opened, Vayamtir aleim, and it rained upon them, mon, lechel, mon to eat, udgan shomayim nosan lomoy, and he gave them heavenly grain. So you see that when Hashem had to give the Mabul, it was two windows. When Hashem gave the Mon, it was two doors. Kama arubo is yesh bedeles. Typically, how many windows fit into a door? Arba arba. It seems that the typical door mentioned in the Chazal is a door had four windows. Harekan shmeine. So two doors had four windows in each, so there's eight windows altogether. So when Hashem poured water onto the world, it was through two windows. When he poured mon onto the world, it was eight windows. When the rain came down, it was 15 amas. There was four times that much with the mon, with eight windows. Nimtza, mon she yorad lemni Yisrael, gavoya, shishim amo. If you work it out, it turns out that the mon that fell was 60 amas high. And the Gemara is soon going to come back to this, whether this comparison between the windows that poured rain by the Mabul and the doors that poured mon, whether one can compare and work a ratio out one from the other. But in the meantime, the Gemara brings another opinion. Tanya Isi ben Yehuda Omer. Isi ben Yehuda taught in a Braisa, mon sheyorad lemli Yisrael, the mon that fell for Yisrael in the Midbar, hoyom is gaber v'oile, would accumulate and rise higher and higher, at sheroyin oisei kol malche mizrach umayriv, until all the kings of the east and the west could see it. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Taro yichlefonai shulchan, neged tzoyroi v'goymer, you prepare a table for me, this table referring the food that Klal Yisrael was getting in the Midbar, in view of my tormentors, which is in view of all the kings on the east and the west. And then once the Gemara had brought this Pasuk, the Gemara just finishes off with the end of the pasuk. The next words in the pasuk is koisi ravoyo, which means my cup overflows. Omar Abaya, Abaya was saying, Shema Mino, we learned from this that Koso de David, that the cup, the goblet of David HaMelech, La'alma de Osi, in the world to come, is going to hold Moson ve'esrin v'chad lo'igot marzik, is going to hold 221 lugin. Shenemer, as it says, Koisi, my cup, says David HaMelech in Tehillim, Revoya, which literally it means overflow. But what does the word Revoya? Revoya begmatria hochi. However, if you take the numerical value of Revoya, it's equal to 221. And now the Gemara goes back to what Rabbi Loza Hamidoyi said, that he learnt from the Mabul, from the flood, where two windows poured 15 amos of water onto the world, two doors, which are eight windows, that poured mon, must have poured four times as much mon as, that means the height of the mon was four times as high as the height of the water. Says the Gemara, Holoi Damni, you cannot really compare the two, because Hossam, when it came to the Mabul, when it was 15 amas high, Barboin Yoimin, that was an accumulation of water that was pouring for 40 days. Hoch over here, Chodesh Aito, we're talking about just 1 hour. It was just every morning, that's how much mon fell. So we would assume there to be much, much less mon than the ratio that was given here. And another point, or rather in spite of that fact, Hosom Lukuli Alma, over there, the water that came from the two windows spread onto the entire world. Hachaba over here, Li Yisrael Luchudei. The mon that fell from those two doors was concentrated only to the camp of Klal Yisrael, V'nofish Luhutfei. And therefore, it was so much more than the ratio we mentioned before. It would be much more than 60 amas high. So the Gemara says, Rebbe Loza Moidoi, psicho psicho gomar. Rebbe Loza Moidoi wasn't making a logical equation between the amount of water that came out over 40-day period from two windows and the amount of mon that came out of eight windows in an hour. No. He said he made a type of gzera shava. It says psicha, opening by the mabul, that the windows were opened. Arubeis HaShemayim Niftochu. It says that the doors were open to let the mon out. And since it uses the word psicha, psicha with both, that means that we can compare the two and make a ratio between two windows and two doors, which is a ratio of 1 to 4. And then he learnt that if the water totaled 15 amas high, then the mon would total 60 amas high. Continues the Gemara, and we're going now back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Osur ba'achila, that on Yom Kippur, one is not allowed to eat, and nor drink, nor wash oneself, nor anoint oneself, nor wear shoes, nor engage in marital relations. Says the Gemara, Hani chamisho inuin keneged mi. These five afflictions, what do they correspond to? Where would there be a source in the pasuk that there are a total of five inuim? Omer v'chizda keneged chamisho inuin shebatoira. Because in the pasuk, if you look in the Chumash, we actually find that there are five times regarding Yom Kippur that the word inui, affliction, is mentioned. Ube osir. It says in the pasuk, Ube osir lachidish hashvi yazeh mikro kodesh yeh lochem v'in nisem es nafsho yiseichem kol melocha lo yisasu. There's another pasuk v'ach, another pasuk of ach, Ube osir lachidish hashvi yazeh yom ha-kippurim hu mikro kodesh yeh lochem v'in nisem es nafsho yiseichem v'kraftem ish el Hashem. There's another pasuk that says Shabbos Shabbos in hu lochem v'inisem es nafshei seichem b'tisho lachodesh bo'erev me'erev ad erev tish b'su shabbatchem. Another pasuk that says v'Shabbos Shabbos in hu lochem v'inisem es nafshei seichem chukas oilom. And the fifth pasuk v'hoiso lochem l'chukas oilom b'chodesh hashvi b'osu lachodesh te'anu es nafshei seichem v'chol melocho l'isasu ho'ezroch v'ager hagor b'soichom. So we have five psukim that each mention the concept of inui, of affliction. So we see from there are five different types of affliction. Asks the Gemara, Hani chamisha hava. We found five psukim that mention affliction. Va'anan shitotnan. But if you read the Mishnah, the Mishnah actually mentions six afflictions. Eating one, drinking two, washing three, anointing four, shoes five, and marital relations six. Answers the Gemara, no. Shsio bichlal achilohi. Eating and drinking are included as a single type of affliction. And therefore, we only have five afflictions that correspond to the five times that inui is mentioned in the Pasuk. The Omar Rish Lakish, and we know this from Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish says, Minayin l'shtiyah shi b'chlal al-chila. Where do we find that drinking is included in eating? Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, V'ochalto lifnei Hashem eleikecho, Maiser degoncho tiroishcho v'itorecho. That you should eat. This is talking about Maiser Sheini. That one should eat before Hashem in Yerushalayim. One should eat Maiser degoncho, the Maiser of your grain, tiroishcho your tiroish, v'itorecho, and your oil. And tiroish, what is tiroish? Chamrahu, it's wine. And wine is typically drunk. And nonetheless, v'kori leva ochalto, the Pasuk says you should eat the tiroishcho, which means eat the wine. How? What does it mean, eat the wine? It must be that drinking is included in eating. Says the Gemara, no, maybe there's no proof. Mimai, how do you know that the tiroish over there means drinking, and then you would have proof that drinking is included in the concept of ochalto in eating? V'dilma de'ochle al yodei anigorin. Maybe over there he was consuming the wine as an ingredient together with anigorin. And the anigorin was typically eaten and consumed with other ingredients. The Omer Rabbi Bar Shmuel, anigorin mayo de silka. Anigorin is a dish made of the water of cooked beets. And aksigorin is mayo de kulu shilki. And aksigorin is a dish made from water of all sorts of other cooked vegetables. And it was typically eaten, they would eat this anigorin, or the aksigorin was eaten not on its own. It was eaten with the tirish, with the wine. And therefore, since one would mix the wine with this dish, indeed it would be referred to as eating, and you would have no proof that drinking is considered eating. Elo Omar Vacha by Yaakov, we have a different proof that drinking is included in eating. Mehocha, from a different pasuk, it says, V'nosata akesev, you shall spend your money, b'choyla she'ta'ava nafshecha, for whatever your soul desires. V'bokor, for cattle, uvatzoin, for flocks, uvayayin, uvashechor, for wine, and for shechor, that you shall eat it there. So what is shechor? Siyahi. Shechor is a type of a wine, and which is clearly drunk. And the Bach adds in here, shechor v'yayin. Both the wine and the shechor. Shechor is generally a more aged wine. Yayin is a new wine. Shechor is a wine that's more than 40 days old. Typically a type of wine that is able to intoxicate somebody. And they are both included in eating. Because that pasuk that starts with v'nosato akesef b'choyla she'ta'ava nafshecho b'bokur v'atzoin v'yayin v'sheichor, it continues v'choyla she'tish'olcho nafshecho v'ochalto shom lifnei Hashem elokecho v'samachto ato v'isecho. The pasuk considers them not only the bokur and the tzoin, the cattle and the flock, but also the yayin and the sheichor. It considers them, even though they are shia, the pasuk considers them as v'ochalto, as eating. So you see from here that drinking is included in eating. Asks the Gemara, Mimai? Maybe not. Maybe v'dil mahochanami de ochle alidei anigorin. Maybe over there too it's talking about that one consumes the wine and the sheichor through eating the anigorin. And then indeed it's an act of eating, not an act of drinking. And then you don't have any proof that drinking is included in eating. Answers the Gemara, sheichor ksiv. That since the Torah uses the term yayin v'sheichor, and sheichor means midi de meshakir, and something which intoxicates a person, and intoxicating a person, an ingredient that is added to other foods does not intoxicate a person. A person would only become intoxicated if he drinks the wine as is, and therefore it must be that it's talking about drinking the wine and not adding it as an ingredient. And then indeed you'd have a proof that sheichor is considered, drinking is considered eating. Says the Gemara, no. Maybe the word sheichor in and of its own, because the yayin, the term yayin, could be that you add it to the anigorin. It was only from the word sheichor that is something which intoxicates a person that we assume it means something which in and of its own has the ability to intoxicate. And then we assume it's the aged wine on its own, which is indeed drinking. But the Gemara says, no, the Dilma Dvei Lo Ke'ilis, maybe it's talking about oppressed figs from the place of Ke'ilis. The Tanya, because we learnt in the Braisa that these pressed figs are able to intoxicate a person. So maybe yayin is wine and could possibly have been eaten to get drunk together with anigorin. Sheichor is talking about pressed figs. And then again, you won't have any proof that drinking is included in eating. Where would we find that these pressed figs are able to intoxicate a person? Because we learnt in a braisa, the Tanya, Ochal dveilo ki'ilis, if a kohen ate the pressed figs from this place of ki'ilis, v'shoso dvash, or drank honey, v'cholov, or milk, v'nichnas l'migdosh, and he came into the base of migdosh, and he served whilst intoxicated, after having consumed these items, chayev, he's going to be chayev, because it's osa to, the pasuk says, sheichor al tesht, you're not allowed to serve in the Beis HaMikdash under the influence of being intoxicated. So you see that these pressed figs are able to intoxicate somebody, so maybe that's what the sheichor is. And then again, you don't have a proof that liquids, that drinking is included in eating. Elo yalif sheichor sheichor minozer, we learn exeret shova, it says sheichor, and sheichor, it says by nozir. Ma la'alon, in the same way as referring to the nozir, the sheichor there is clearly talking about aged wine. Afkan, so too. And is the sheichor over there, by the nozir, cannot be talking about the pressed figs, because there's nothing wrong with the nozir becoming intoxicated. He's only not allowed to consume the grape products, the wine. And the same as over there, it's wine. Afkan, so too, in this posuk where it speaks about the yayin v'sheichor, we assume the sheichor to mean the aged wine. And since the posuk is talking about being intoxicated by the sheichor, so it must be it's not been added to a food item. It's drunk on its own, and nonetheless it's called v'ochalto, it's called eating. Indeed, we have a proof that drinking is included in eating, and therefore the six afflictions mentioned in the Mishnah, in truth, are only five. And now the Gemara is going back to Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said before, because we saw that the Gemara asked, how do you know that drinking is included in eating? So the first source, which was the one Rish Lakish brought, he said, Minayin l'shtia shi b'chlal achila. Shenemer, it says in the Pasuk, b'maise sheni, v'chalto lifnei Hashem lekecho, maise degoncho, tiroish chavitarecho. And tiroish chamruhu, Rish Lakish maintained that tiroish is wine, and it's called v'ochalto, so he brought proof from there that drinking is included in eating. And the Gemara disproved that and said maybe he's drinking the wine, but as adding it as an ingredient to a food, in which case it's not really called drinking, it's really called eating, and you have no proof that drinking in and of itself is like eating. But this assumption that Rish Lakish had, that tiroish is actually wine, is something which the Gemara is going to discuss now. V'tiroish chamruhu, is tiroish actually wine? V'otanya, we learnt in a braisa, hanoidar mina tiroish, if somebody makes a vow, and that he promises, he makes a shua, a neder, to abstain from benefiting from tiroish, osur b'chol minei masika, he's not allowed to benefit from any variety of sweet fruits, umutar b'yayin, and he's allowed to benefit from wine. So you see clearly that tiroish are referring to sweet fruits and not to wine. So how could Rish Lakish say that tiroish is chamra? We see explicitly in the Mishnah that tiroish is not wine. So before coming back to that, the Gemara says, v'lav chamruhu. So you're trying to prove to me that tiroish is not wine? V'oksiv, does it not say explicitly in the pasuk, v'siroish yunoivev besulois, that consuming tiroish is going to bring forth the besulois? Besulois is referring to something which is hidden. The literal translation is virgins, but what it means is that those secrets that are sealed inside a man's heart, they are going to come forth when consuming tiroish, which means that person would get intoxicated by consuming tiroish, so it must mean wine. Says the Gemara, no, that in and of its own would not be proof that tiroish is wine, because it could be what the posuk means, dovar haba min hatiroish. Tiroish is not wine, tiroish could well be sweet fruits. Included in sweet fruits are grapes. And what the pasuk means to say is that dovar habomina tiroish, the wine that comes forth from the grapes, which the grapes are called tiroish, they are the ones that the wine, which is yenoviv basulis, is going to bring forth those secrets. So tiroish itself may well not mean wine, it may mean grapes. Asks the Gemara, v'oksiv, but we have another pasuk. The pasuk says, v'siroish yekovecho, that the tiroish of your wine vats, which is in the wine press, they would press the grapes, and then the wine would flow into the vats. So that's called the yekev. The tiroish, and the posuk says that the tiroish of your wine vats, yifroitu, is going to burst forth, there's going to be so much there. What have you got in the wine vats? Clearly wine, not grapes. So you see here that tiroish is wine. Answers the Gemara, no. What it means is that what comes forth from the tiroish, from the sweet fruits, from the grapes, it comes forth the wine, and it's the wine that comes from the sweet fruits which are going to burst forth from your vats. The Gemara brings a third pasuk, a third tribe. V'oksiv, it says in the pasuk, znus, which is inappropriate, immoral activities, v'yayin and wine, v'tiroish, and tiroish, yikach lev, they capture the heart, which means they intoxicate a person. Now over here, since the pasuk mentions that it intoxicates a person, it cannot mean, the tiroish here cannot mean the grapes itself, the sweet fruits, because sweet fruits don't intoxicate a person. Nor can tiroish mean the wine that flows from the sweet fruits, because it explicitly mentions yayin independently, v'yayin v'tiroish yikach lev. So it must be that tiroish is a type of wine, is an aged wine. So it says, v'yayin and wine, v'tiroish and aged wine, yikach lev, they intoxicate a person. So we have an explicit pasuk here that tiroish does mean wine. So the question against Rish Lakish is not such a question, because we have a pasuk. Rish Lakish assumed that tiroish chamrahu, that tiroish is wine. Okay, we've seen a pasuk to that effect. The question is going to be, what do we do with that Mishnah that tells us regarding the Dorim, regarding the vows, that the Mishnah says that if you make a vow and to abstain from benefiting from Tiroish, it says in the Mishnah there that you only are not allowed to benefit from sweet fruits, but you are allowed to benefit from wine. Says the Gemara, Ela dekule alma Tiroish chamru. Of course, Tiroish means wine. Upanadorim, regarding that Mishnah, regarding the vows, Halech achar loshin b'nei adam, we know there's a rule regarding vows that we follow the typical, the common language of the people. And since when a person generally talks, not what posuk means when it says tirosh, when a person talks and the person uses the term tirosh, he normally means sweet fruits and doesn't mean wine. Therefore, when he makes such a vow, he only intended to abstain from benefiting from the sweet fruits and not from the wine. But that doesn't mean that the word tirosh in psukim means sweet fruits and not wine. And now the Gemara is asking, so we see here that the pasuk says, yayin v'tiroish, there's a concept called wine, and a concept called tiroish. What is the Torah trying to impress on us by sometimes referring to wine as yayin, and sometimes referring to wine as tiroish? There must be some message in that. Says the Gemara, v'amai kori le'yayin, v'amai kori le'tiroish. Why sometimes is it called wine and sometimes tiroish? Says the Gemara, yayin, the reason it's sometimes called yayin, shemevi yololo la'olam. The word yayin is similar to the word ta'aniyo, which means wailing, and drinking wine will causes or often causes a person to engage in inappropriate behavior, which ultimately causes him to wail and cry. Tiroish, why is wine called tiroish? Shekola mizgoreboy, anyone who indulges or overindulges and gets pulled towards the wine, naser rosh, ultimately he's going to become rosh, he's going to become a poor person because of the punishment that's going to be met to him due to the averus he's going to do, consequenting from his being intoxicated. Rav Kahana Romi, Rav Kahana poses a seeming contradiction between the way a word is written and the way it's read. Ksiv, the way that the word is written is without the vav, it's tirosh. And the word tirosh, when broken up, would mean to be poor, as we just saw before, naserosh. The korinon, however, when we read it, it's got a chaylom, it's, so to speak, got the extra vav, but it's the punctuated with a chaylom, that it says tirosh, which means to be a head, a leader. So being a leader and being poor, they seem to be opposites. So says the Gemara, Zohar, if he merits to drink moderately, Naaseh Rosh, he'll become a leader. Lo Zohar, if he's not going to merit, then Naaseh Rosh is going to become poor. Similarly, Rava says, Rami, he asks a similar contradiction between the way a word is actually written and can be read without its vowels and the way it's actually read with its correct vowels. On the pasuk that says, V'yayin yisamach levav enosh, wine that gladdens the heart of man. But the word yesamach, that's the way we read it. But the letter shin can also be read yeshamach. Ksiv, it says yeshamach. And it's read v'korinon yesamach. Yeshamach comes from the word shmomo, from being desolate, from being something negative. And Yisamach is gladdening, is happy, that's something positive. Zachar, if he merits, that means he drinks wine in moderation and appropriately, then Masamchai, then it will gladden him. Lo Yizachar, however, if he doesn't merit and he overindulges in the wine, then Meshamamoy, it will make him desolate. V'hainu da'amar Rava, that's what Rava says, Chamra v'reichoni pakhin, wine and fragrant scents have made me wise. So we see there that wine has the properties, when used appropriately, to actually be a schus for somebody, to actually merit somebody, and to gladden him, and to make him into a head. Na set roish, as we saw before. And now the Gemara is going back to the discussion of our Mishnah, the five afflictions that are applied to Yom Kippur. Rechitza v'sicha minalon d'ikri inui. Where do we know that abstaining from washing or abstaining from anointing oneself with oil are acts of affliction, and hence on Yom Kippur one is not allowed to wash or anoint oneself? Says the Gemara d'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, lechem chamudois loy ochelti, which means that this was a time when Daniel actually said that for a three-week period after he heard that the king Koresh had retracted from his permission to build the Beis HaMikdosh, he said that lechem chamudos le'ochalti, I ate no desirable bread, ubosor v'yayin lo'ybo el pi, and meat and wine did not enter my mouth, v'soich lo'isachti, and I did not anoint myself with anointing. And the Gemara interrupts and says, "My lechem chamudo is lo yochalti." What did Daniel mean when he said, "I ate no desirable bread"? Omer Rav Yehuda b'Rei d'Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, "Afilu nama dechite dachyosa lo ochel." Not only did I not eat meat, not only did I not drink wine, but even bread made from refined wheat, which is just bread. It was made from refined wheat, but it was just bread. Even that I didn't taste during these 3 weeks. And now we're going back to what we're discussing. Where do we find that washing and anointing are called an affliction? Because it does say in the Pasuk, V'soich lo'isachti, I did not anoint myself with an anointing. Well, it's true. Daniel chose not to do that. But where do we find it's actually considered an affliction? It says in the Pasuk, V'yoymer Eli. The angel Gavriel, the Malach Gavriel, said to Daniel, Al tere Daniel, do not be afraid, Daniel. Ki min hayoyim arishoin ashe nosato es libcho lahovin. From the first day that you set your mind, your heart, to understand. Ulehis anuis lefnei elukecho. And to afflict yourself before Hashem. Nishmu dvorecho. From that day on, your words have been heard. Va'ani bosien, I have come bidvorecho because of your words. There's something about you, Daniel, that allowed me, Malach Gavriel, to come. So you see there that the Malach Gavriel, when he was speaking to Daniel, he said that the deeds of Daniel and his abstaining from lechem chamudois, bosor v'yayin, and sicha, they are called lehis anuis, they were called an affliction. From there you see that anointing oneself is considered an affliction. Says the Gemara, ashkechon sicha. Okay, you found me a source that abstaining from anointing is an affliction. Rechitza minolon. But where do we know that abstaining from washing oneself is also considered an affliction? Answers the Gemara, Omar of Zutra Beribitovia. Omar Kro, it says in the Pasuk, Vatovoi kamayim bekirboi, it has come like water into his insides, into his innards, v'chashemen ba'atzmoisov, and like oil into his bones. So here the Pasuk is comparing washing oneself with water, Vatovoi kamayim bekirboi, he's comparing it to kashemen ba'atzmoisov, to oil which typically one would anoint oneself with. And in the same way as abstaining from anointing oneself is considered an affliction, as we saw before, so too abstaining from washing oneself is also considered an affliction. Asks the Gemara, maybe not. Maybe v'eima kishtia. Maybe when it says that it's come like water into his innards, when the Pasuk says, v'tovei kamayim bekirboi, you assume that it means to wash oneself, and you're bringing a source from there that rechitza is called an inui, maybe it's talking about drinking water. That drinking water is compared to anointing oneself, and both indeed are called an affliction. But where would you see from their source that washing, or not washing, is called an affliction? Says the Gemara, Dumya de Shemen, we assume that when we compare the water to the oil, it's talking about similar to the oil. Ma Shemen me'abroyi, in the same way as when one anoints oneself with oil, one does it from the outside of one's body, one anoints oneself on the skin. Afmayim me'avroyi, so too the water mentioned in the Pasuk is talking about from the outside, which means we're not talking about drinking water, we're talking about washing oneself with water, and that's compared to anointing in the same way as anointing, or the not anointing is called an affliction, so too not washing is an affliction. Asks the Gemara of Ahotana, Ibchel Konosiv, but we find there's a Tana that seems to say the opposite. Ditnan, we learnt in the Mishnah Meseches Shabbos, Minayin Lesicha Shehi Keshtia B'Yom HaKippurim. How do you know that anointing oneself on Yom Kippur is similar to drinking on Yom Kippur and is seriously osa? And the Gemara says, Afal Pisha in Ra'e Ledova, even though there's no absolute proof to this, Zeich Ledova, there's an allusion to it from that very same Pasuk, Shenemar, V'atova yikamayim bekirboi, v'chashemen ba'atzmaisov, that we compare mayim bekirboi, which is drinking water, to anointing oneself, and in the same way as drinking water on Yom Kippur is seriously osa, so too anointing oneself is seriously osa. So from that Tana, we actually see that we compare anointing to the water intake and not the water to the anointing. In which case, we now don't have any more proof. Once you say that we compare the anointing to the water, then we could be talking about the water intake, as in drinking. We don't anymore have a source that rechitza, that not washing, is considered an affliction. Ela Omer, Rav Ashi says, rechitza migufei dekro shmirlei. From that very same Pasuk, that Daniel says that v'soich le'isachti, I didn't anoint myself, there's an extra word there. And that extra word is teaching us another halacha. D'chsiv, it says v'soich le'isachti. Daniel could have just said v'le'isachti, I didn't anoint myself. When he says v'soich le'isachti, and I did not anoint myself with an anointing, that extra word tells us that not only did he not anoint himself, but also he did not wash himself either. And before going back to our discussion about the afflictions on Yom Kippur, the Gemara is now digressing to discuss a second Pasuk, another Pasuk, regarding Daniel. That we saw before, that the Malach Gavril told Daniel that V'ani Basi Bidvorecha, I came Bidvorecha, because of your words. That would be the literal translation of that. But it seems here that there's something about you, Daniel, that caused me, Gavril, the Malach Gavril, to come in. Asks the Gemara, what did the Malach Gavril mean when he said, V'ani bosi bidvarecho, that because of something to do with you, on the account of you, I have entered the heavenly court. What does that mean? Hainu d'chsiv, it says in the Pasuk, and these are all psukim now in Yecheskel. The Pasuk says, V'shivim ish mizikne beis Yisrael, there were 70 men of the elders of the house of Yisrael, V'ya'azanyohu ben Shofon oimed besoichom, and this person, Ya'azanyohu ben Shofon, was standing amongst them, oimdim lefneim, was standing before them, they were standing before the idols. V'ish miktarotoy beyodoy, and each of them had some k'toyres in their hands, v'atar anan haktoires oile, and the thick clouds of the k'toires were rising up, and they were doing this before the idols. Osiv, and it says in the Pasuk, v'yishlach tavnis yod, and he stretched forth the form of a hand, v'yikocheni, and took me b'tzitzis roishi, by the lock of my head, by the corners of my head, v'tissa oisi ruach, and the wind carried me bein ha'oretz uvein ha'shamayim, between the earth and the heavens, v'tovei oisi Yerushalayim, and brought me to Yerushalayim, b'marais Elokim, in divine visions. He had this vision of being taken to Yerushalayim, and he was somewhere suspended between heaven and earth. El Pesach Shara Pnimis, to the entrance of the inner gate of the Beis HaMikdosh, ha'poin etzfoino, that faces the north, Asher Shom Moishav Seimel Hakino Hamekane. And there was the seat of the Semel, the image of Hakino Hamakne. of the provocative image of provocation. Vayove oisi el chatzar beis Hashem apnimis. And then this is Yechezkel saying that he witnessed that he was brought into the inner courtyard of the Beis HaMikdosh. V'hinei Pesach Heichal Hashem. And behold, at the entrance of the Heichal, bein ha'ulam uvein ha'mizbeach, between the ulam and the mizbeach, ke'esir machamisho ish, were some 25 men, achireim el Heichal Hashem. Their backs were to the Heichal. Upneim kedmo, and their faces were facing the east. V'heimo mishtachavim, and they were bowing kedmo, eastwards to the sun. They were serving Avodah Zorah. They were bowing to the sun. And now the Gemara says, Mimashma shenemar, from virtue of the fact that it says upneim kedmo, that their faces were facing east, eini yodea, do I not know shachireim el heichal Hashem, that their backs were towards the heichal? We know that the heichal was in the west, was Meiriv, and the opposite side is the Mizrach. Eloma talmud loima achireim el heichal Hashem. What does the pasuk mean to say when it says that their backs were facing the heichal? Melamed shahoyu pir in atzmon. It teaches us that they would reveal themselves, they would expose themselves at the back. Vahoyu matrizin klape mato, and they were, so to speak, relieving themselves, chas v'shalom, against Hashem, against the Shechina, towards the Shechina. Omer le HaKadosh Baruch Hu le Michael. Hashem said to the Malach Michael, Michael, Malach Michael, sorcho umosecho, your nation has sinned. O Malach Fonov, so the Malach Michael said to Hashem, Riboinei Sheloilom, the master of the world, Dayei LaTovim Shebohem, the fact that there are some good people amongst them, that should suffice to spare Klal Yisrael. Omar Loi Hashem said to the Malach Michael, Ani Soref Oisom, I'm going to burn those who are sinning, V'LaTovim Shebohem, and together with them, the good amongst them as well. And the Rishonim say that this seems to be because the good people there, who were at least those that were present and aware of what's going on, that they could have protested and they didn't. Miyad immediately vayomer el ho'ish levush habadim. He spoke to the Malach Gavriel, who was called the man clothed in linen, vayomer, and he said, Boy el beinois la galgal. Come between the galgal, el tachas la kruv, between the kruv, which is some type of a malach, and Hashem told the malach Gavriel, Umale chofnecho, fill your cupped hands, gachalei esh, with fire coals, mibeinois la kruvim, from amongst the kruvim, uzroik aloir, and throw those coals onto the city. Vayovoi le'enoi, and he, the malach Gavriel, he came before my eyes. Miyad immediately, Vayishlach hakruv es yodoi mibeinois lakruvim. Instead of the Malach Gavriel stretching out his hands, so to speak, cupping his hands and taking the coals, he sent one of the kruvim to bring the coals. So it says that the kruv stretched out his hands, mibeinois lakruvim, from between the kruvim, el ho'esha shebeinois hakruvim, to the fire that was between the kruvim, vayiso. He carried the coals, vayitein el chofnei, and he placed them into the cupped hands of Levush Habadim, of the Malach Gavriel, who was called the Levush Habadim, clothed in linen. Vayikach, and the Malach Gavriel took the coals, vayitzei, and he went out, and he was going to throw them on the city. Now the Gemara says, Omer Avchonu bar Bizna, Omer Avshimon Chasida, Ilmolei lo nitztananu gecholim, miyodoi shel kruv, lo yodoi shel Gavril, had the coals not cooled down in transit, whilst being transferred between the hands of the kruv to the hands of Malach Gavril, lo nishtairu misoineim shel Yisrael sorid upolit, there wouldn't be anyone left from, so to speak, the enemies of Klal Yisrael, which is an elegant way of talking about those people who had sinned in Klal Yisrael, sorid upolit, not a remnant nor a survivor would have been left. Uchsiv. And it says, V'hinei ho'ish levush habadim, and behold, this, the Malach Gavriel, who's referred to as the man clothed in linen, asher hakeses b'mosnov, he had the slate upon his loins, meishiv dovor leimoir, he brought back an answer saying, Osisi kasha tzivisani, I have done all that you have commanded me. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ba'oisei shah, at that moment, oitziu le Gavriel me'achiri aparagoid, they cast Malach Gavriel out from behind the curtain, umachyuhu, and they administered lashes to him, shitin pulsei denura, with 60 rods of fire. Amru leh, they said to him, Ila yavada, had you not done what you were told to do, to take the coals and throw them on the city, then lo avadet, then, okay, we would have understood that you were just trying to buy time in the hope that Hashem would, so to speak, would get appeased, and then Hashem would, so to speak, his anger would have subsided, and the decree would have been stopped. But I avadet, but if you did throw the coals on the city, amai le avadet kedefagducha. Why didn't you at least do what you were told to do, to go and take the coals? Why did you ask one of the kruvim to pass you the coals? Why didn't you take them yourself? Void da avadet, and also that now that you've done what you've done, les lach, do you not understand? Do you not agree with what we've always said, that ein mashivin ala kalkala, that one should not report back with bad news? You did what you've done. Why did you come back and say, I've done what you told me to do? That's against the rule of Ein Mashivin ala Kalkola. So what happened after that? Aisuha le Duviel. They brought in another malach called Duviel. Sara de Parsoi. It was the malach that was responsible of the Persians. Voikme Becharike, and they stood in the Malach Gavriel's place, because the Malach Gavriel had been sent out. Veshimesh Esrim Ve'echod Yoim, and this Sar, this minister of Persia, served for 21 days. Hainu Dechsev, and that's what it says in the Pasuk, Vesar Malchus Poras, the Malach of Persian, of the Persian kingdom, Oimed Lenegdi Esrim Echad Yoim, he stood opposed to me for 21 days. And behold, the Malach Michoel, one of the foremost Malachim, Bol Ozreini, came to help me. And I remained there alone, Etel Malchi Poras, beside the king, or the, let's call it the king of Persia. Yoav Ule Esrim Echad Malchi, during those 21 days that Duviel, who was the Malach of Persia, was, so to speak, serving, then this Malach was given 21 kingdoms, Uparvasa Demashig, and the royal port. Omar, this Duviel said, Ksivuli Yisrael Ba'akargo, write down for me that Klal Yisrael should be those who are paying the taxes to the Persians. Ksivuli, they wrote it for him. And then he added, Ksivuli Rabbonon Ba'akargo. The Malach Duviel said, write down for me that even the Chachomim should have to pay the taxes. Ksuvule, they wrote it for him. Be'idna debou lemichtam, when it came to the point of signing these decrees, Omad Gavriel me'achiri ha'paragoy, the Malach Gavriel arose from behind the curtain, v'omar, and he said as follows, Shav lochem, in vain, it is in vain for you, mashkimei kum, those who rise early, me'acharei sheves, those who sit up late, oichle lechem or atzovim, who eat the bread of their sorrows, kein yitein liyedidoi sheino. For he gives liyedidoi, he gives for those who are dear to him, he gives them sheino. Asks the Gemara, what does it mean, my kein yitein liyedidoi sheino? What did he mean by that? What was the Malach Gavriel trying to impress? What the Malach Gavril was trying to impress was trying to say that all of you who are working hard from morning to night, do you really think that you can empower over Klal Yisrael and over the Chachomim? Even the wives of the Talmidei Chachomim, they are called Liyedido Yisheino, and in their merit, you won't be able to take control over Klal Yisrael and certainly not over the Chachomim. Elu Nesheisem Shel Talmidei Chachomim, the wives of the Talmidei Chachomim, Shem Menadudo Yisheino Bo'olam Hazeh, they lose sleep. That's what Menadudo Yisheino means, that they're happy to lose sleep in this world. They're waiting for their husbands to come home from the Beis HaMedrash, as we saw in Brachos Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, and in Soita Daf Chof Aleph Amud Aleph, v'zoichos l'olam haba, and they merit to, for the world to come. So the Malach Gavriel said that, are these nations, are you really fit to rule over the Torah scholars? Even their wives are praised for staying awake at night and depriving themselves of sleep for the sake of Torah. You will not be able to have any control over them. But they paid no attention to what the Malach Gavriel said. Omar Lefonov. So Malach Gavriel turned to Hashem and said, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Master of the World, if you were to put all the wise men of the nations of the world on one side of the scales, And the beloved Daniel, Bekaf Shnia, on the other side of the scales, Loi Nimtza Machriyas Kulam, would it not overturn, would he not outweigh all the others? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem responded, Mihu Zeh Shemelamit Zchus Al Bonai, who is it that is now being Melamit Zchus, is advocating for the sake of Klal Yisrael? Omru Lofonov, they said in front of Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Gavril, it's the Malach Gavril. Omar Lehem, Hashem said to the Malachim, Yovoi, let him enter. Shenemar, as it says, Va'ani Bosi Bidvorecha, this is what we started with, that the Malach Gavril said that I came back in Bidvorecha because of your words, that means because of you, I came back into the heavenly courts. Not because of something that Daniel had said, but because of something that the Malach Gavril spoke up on behalf of Daniel, and therefore he was allowed back in. Omar Luhu, Hashem said to the other Malachim, Le'oil, bring the Malach Gavril back in. Ailuhu, they brought the Malach Gavril in. Also, so the Malach Gavril came in, he found Ashkechei Leduvil, he found the Malach Duvil, to knock at Leila Igarate Biyade. He was holding in his hand the letter that authorized him to take taxes from the Tamidei Chachomim. So the Malach Gavril tried to cast it away from his hands. Blah. But the Malach Duvil, he swallowed this letter. Ikad Omra, some say, Michtov Havaksiva, that the decree was already written, Michtom Loi Havachasmo, but it was not yet signed. Ikad Omra, and others maintain, Af Michtom Nav Mi Havachasmo, that it was already signed, and Kidabloi, but when this Malach Duvil swallowed it, Mochak Le Minei, he erased the letter, or he erased the signature from it. Hainu de Malchusa de Poras, and that's why in the Persian kingdom, Ikad de Yoiv Karga, there are some Chachomim who pay the taxes, and Ikad de Loyoiv Karga, and there are others that did not pay the taxes. And now the Malach Gavril continues and says that once I was allowed to re-enter the heavenly court, Va'ani Yoitza, that I will now go out, Vihine Sar Yovon Bo, I'm going out to fight against the Malach of Persia, and the Malach of Greece approaches. Ove, Ove, the Malach Gavril cried out. And Ove is the term used for crying. He cried out and he cried out. V'leked Ashkech Bey, but no one paid any attention to him. And now the Gemara goes back to the original discussion that we had. What's the halacha regarding the five afflictions? What's the source that washing oneself or abstaining from washing oneself is considered an affliction? So we brought a source at the bottom of Daf Ayin Vav Amud Beis, that we learn out from the extra word V'soich Loisachti. Now the Gemara says V'iboy Seima, another source, Rechitza de Ikra Inui Minolon. Where do we learn that abstaining from washing is called an affliction? Nehacha, from this pasuk, the Chsiv, it says Ulevyosor Hakoyin Omar Hamelech. Shloim Hamelech says to Evyosor Hakoyin, he says, the truth is, I could put you to death, because you know my father David HaMelech said that I, Shlomo HaMelech, should be the king, and not my brother Adonio, who was the oldest surviving son of David HaMelech. And this Evyosar actually supported Adonio and not Shlomo. So Shlomo HaMelech says, the truth is that I could kill you for treason, you are going against the king. However, Anosois Leich Al Sodecho, go to Anosois, to your fields. And that means it will suffice that you just have to leave Yerushalayim and I won't put you to death. Ki ish moves ato, because you're deserving of death. Ubayoyim azeh lo yamisecho, but I shall not put you to death on this day. Why? Ki nososo es haroin Hashem Elokim lifnei David Ovi, because you carried the oroin of Hashem before my father David. V'chi his aniso. Because when my father David HaMelech was alive, you were afflicted with all those afflictions that my father David HaMelech was afflicted, when David HaMelech had to flee from his son Avshalom, and since he was accepted, this Evyosar accepted the afflictions that David HaMelech was going through, that's what spared him. So we know that Evyosar and David HaMelech, they underwent afflictions. The pasuk says, "His anisa b'chayla shehis ano avi." It was afflictions. Uchsiv beib David. What does it say concerning David HaMelech? Ki omru ha'om, for they said, ki omru, they said, ha'om roev, the people are hungry, v'oyef, and they are weary, tired, v'tzomei, and thirsty, b'midbar, in the desert. So you see, the pasuk specifies hunger, thirst, and being tired and weary, and these are called afflictions. Look, we have to understand what these things are. Ro'ev milechem. Hungry means that they were obviously did not have access to food. Ritzomi mimayim. They were thirsty. They were not able to drink water. Mimayim. Oyev. What were they abstaining from that made them weary and tired? Mimay. What was that? Lav mirachitza. Is it not from the fact that they couldn't wash? And so we see here that not washing is called an affliction. Says the Gemara, no, maybe not. V'dilma min ilas asandal. Maybe it alludes to their not wearing shoes. And that's what made them weary. Ela omer b'yitzchok mihacha. I have another pasuk, and there we'll see that oyef, being weary, is actually coming, is a consequence of not washing, not a consequence of not wearing shoes. Because the pasuk says, mayim korim al nefesh ayefa. Like cold water on a weary soul. So you see that the cold water going on a person, that's what removes from him this nefesh ayefo, his weariness, his tiredness. And so you see clearly that washing or not washing causes weariness. Asks the Gemara, V'dilma mishtia. Maybe when the Pasuk says, Mayim korim al nefesh ayefo, is actually talking about drinking water, not washing in water. And the Mefarshim discuss how this could be, because in that pasuk regarding David HaMelech, it says explicitly, Ro'ev v'oyev v'tzomi. It already mentions thirst, mimayim, mentions tzomi separately, so how could oyev there mean not drinking? But that's what the Gemara says here, in the pasuk of mayim korim al nefesh ayefo, you don't have proof that not washing is called an affliction. It could well be that it's talking about not drinking. Says the Gemara, Miksiv b'nefesh ayefa? Does the Pasuk say that it's like cold water in the weary soul, which would mean taking water in, drinking water? No, it doesn't say that. It says al nefesh ayefa ksiv. It says on the weary soul, which is water that's put on the person, not water that's taken in the person. What water is taken on the person? It's washing. So you see here that abstaining from washing causes ayefus, weariness and tiredness, and therefore that when the Pasuk says by David HaMelech that he was oyef, it could well be talking about, and it's probably talking about not washing, and we see it's called an affliction. So we see that abstaining from washing is called an affliction, and that's the source that you're not allowed to wash on Yom Kippur. And Emil Tzashem in the next Gemara, in the next year, we go to continue and learn about not wearing shoes on Yom Kippur.